It is a time to talk to Arthur again, the food maven, food maverick, and food. Yeah, we're doing MAVs anyway.
Oh, MAVs. Okay.
And now your favorite. And now the jaded holiday of Thanksgiving. It must be really. I mean, how many years?
This is my 50th. Well, I'm choking on that.
Sorry to laugh, but it's like, you know, how do you think of something clever to say?
Reporting on Thanksgiving.
54,
And the dirty secret is I have cooked very few Thanksgiving dinners myself. I could tell you why, but I don't want to start.
Okay.
So, but I have a downstairs, where I do want to start is my downstairs. For years I did answer Thanksgiving questions on the radio. I was up on Thanksgiving Day, I was on the air from 7 in the morning until 1 o'clock, and then I had to make my way through the
Macy's balloons
and get to New Jersey for my sister, who made Thanksgiving dinner in those days. But I have done it a few times.
Oh, that's better than the Butterball line.
And I can give any advice about it.
Okay.
But let me start with my neighbor downstairs. God knows how she got through life. She has two children in their 40s and grandchildren, and she calls me for cooking advice. So, and of course, I'm helpful, and I can be. Sometimes I have to be disdainful, like, oh, Carol, why are you making it that way? Or why are you making this recipe? So her family apparently has a sweet tooth, which mine doesn't really.
Right.
Not the way hers does, where even the vegetables have to be sweet. But there was one bit in this whole conversation we had. Actually, we had two. And she follows recipes. So she made, for instance, she made cranberry sauce that was way too sweet. What am I going to do now, Arthur? So I told her, you're going to have to extend it by buying another bag of cranberries and getting them going, meaning start the cooking, and then add your other cranberry sauce and cook it all together, and it'll be good. Or maybe at least it won't be as sweet. But one thing that she questions, and I realize not everybody knows this, you should let the turkey rest after it comes out of the oven. You don't want to take the turkey out and 5 minutes later carve it. You want to let it sit there for, I would say, at least 20 minutes, a time well enough to cook something else in your already hot oven.
Right. But
yeah.
No, I just,
you know,
I thought
maybe
that was,
to you it's basic, but it's not basic to people who, you know, never really did Thanksgiving.
No, and one of the most dangerous things is, you know, reliably, I don't know, but like in a 10-year period, reliably, the New York Times would come up with these ideas for turkeys, for example, that people had just no business doing in a small apartment.
Like?
Deep frying.
Talking about the 500-degree turkey?
I'm talking about, or deep frying.
And that, and you know, my friend, may she rest in peace, Barbara Kafka, promoted this kind of cooking, 500-degree roasting, not just of turkeys. But unless you had a clean oven.
Yeah, you're doomed. Smoke alarms going off
really
left, right, center.
Really going to smoke up the kitchen.
Yeah.
By the way, I have problems getting my fancy stove up to 500 degrees. And I just had a serviceman here the other day for some other problem altogether. And I said, you know, why does it take... Sometimes I never get it up to 500 degrees. It'll go to 450, but I don't know. He said because it's such a large, heavy piece of equipment, it takes a very long time for it to heat up. Anyway, let's get back to Thanksgiving.
Okay.
So, yeah, because this is my, as I said, 54th year reporting on Thanksgiving. And it is one of those list-making days. If you are hosting Thanksgiving, I hope you've gotten started at least with writing your list.
Yeah, on a Monday, by Monday you should have. Shouldn't you have your list by Monday?
It's not just grocery list.
Yeah,
not just food list.
Right.
What dishes you're going to make, but also what dishes you're going to put things on. You don't want at the last minute to have to fumble through the cupboard to find the platter that's going to be for blah blah, or the bowl that's going to be for blah, blah, you know, ahead of time. You've got to be organized.
Or the bowl for someone who just...
hosting Thanksgiving, very organized.
No, but and I need you, if you don't mind, throw something out there, because there are people who can't come without bringing something, even if you tell them not to. And then,
well, I don't know people like that.
Oh. And then
they bring something even when you tell them not to.
Correct.
Well,
you heard me.
You know.
And well, how else do you?
Well, I don't know. You say to them, "How do I put this out? Do I have to heat it? Do I have to?"
Yeah,
you know,
but you have to have something to put. You have to have something
so
to put it on.
If it's their family's favorite cranberry sauce,
it's not.
And they don't want to get through Thanksgiving without it. I understand. I mean, they're actually family things really come to the fore.
Correct. I'm not complaining. Know. I'm not even commenting on that. I'm just saying that there is a certain, you know, it manages to hijack a certain amount of organization when somebody comes.
Well, yeah, I know, but you know.
So you have to have. What I'm saying is, on your list, have plates for that too.
You can't count on it. But all you can count on is what's in your control. And by the way, I have to add this. This is not a holiday for carbophobes. And in discussing what we were going to eat with my nephew the other day.
Is he bringing the girls? Are they bringing
me?
Are they bringing the girls, or are you going?
No, well, I'm going there.
Okay.
And don't ask about the eating habits of these people, meaning my family. But Brian is now a vegetarian, so he only cares about the side dishes. Mm-hmm. I only care about the side dishes. Bob only cares about the side dishes. The kids have a lot of food issues. His wife, Michelle, my niece, is the only one who really wants to see a turkey, at least. So a few years ago, what I did was I ordered, and I did this the one time I hosted Thanksgiving in Cornwall. I ordered a smoked turkey from Nodine's in Tarrington. Now, I don't know if it probably is too late to get it delivered, but you may know, Jill, a retail store that sells Nodine's turkeys. Is there still, or was there ever... I think there was a retail store by the smokehouse.
There was, and I don't know if it's still there because
I
once sent somebody there and it wasn't there, and then somebody told me that it was back there, so I don't know the answer to that question.
Well, but you can call and find out.
No, but there's also a place.
If you're still interested.
There's also
a
place in
turkey.
Texas.
It makes a great centerpiece for Thanksgiving.
I know.
And then you have turkey to make all your favorite leftover turkey recipes.
Except that it's smoked.
Including, by the way, turkey sandwiches. I do like a good... a roast turkey, if it's not dry, roast turkey sandwich, of course, with mayonnaise.
Well, of course, you're lucky that I'm not a member of your family, because the problem is that we actually, many decades ago, there was a wonderful client who would always send, without fail, from the, you know, really, really good smokehouse, you know, in... this was in Texas. And people would look forward to it. The only problem is that I am not a smoked turkey eater. Pause for everybody to go, oh, clutch your pearls. And so the idea of sides with smoked turkey is...
No, we didn't
gross.
Serve the turkey Thanksgiving.
Oh, you just...
We just looked at it.
Oh, okay. As long as
And
just...
I, the next day,
what
I
waste.
Made turkey tetrazzini. By the way, it's very... The Nodine's turkey is very lightly smoked.
The one from Texas was not.
Well, I've had a few in my life, and I still swear by Nodine's.
I would.
So, and no, it was for the next day. So I could make turkey tetrazzini, a turkey chowder.
Mm.
I mean, there's so many things I like, and this you might like. Do you like barbecue?
Mm.
All right, well, there you go. You wouldn't like this either. But I used to make a turkey hash with bottled barbecue sauce, and
well,
it was really good.
I think that, see, my idea of turkey hash is you just throw in all that extra gravy and...
Well,
stuffing.
I find gravy is rarely extra.
<'Cause>
it's a...
Good point.
I actually, the only reason I would say to roast a turkey is
to make the gravy.
You use parts of it for making a turkey broth,
right?
And then
ooh,
use the dripping.
Broth,
to make your turkey gravy.
Yep, and
so,
and Marshall
and,
was.
And
the,
then that goes on the that goes very well with the starches, or at least it goes very well with the mashed potatoes.
Beautifully, and the stuffing,
and with the stuffing or right. dressing, whatever and your family calls it.
Now I have to invoke, you know, before you do this, I have to invoke Marshall, who's, we almost said, like absolute family breakdown, because what we used to do is on Tuesday take Thanksgiving to my father, and while he was still alive, and that part of the family. And that's when we would do Thanksgiving, because there was always football up here and stuff that, you know, we always did a show. Anyway, one of the I would say, one of those crowning moments called watershed moments of everybody's relationship was Marshall, who was a great, great gravy maker, had the gravy on the stove, and he was just stirring it. And my stepmother came in and dumped like half a, I don't know, a quadruple glug of brandy in it.
Oh, my.
Exactly. And the look on Marshall's face, like he went sheet white. And pretty much that was the end of that relationship. I mean, it was all fine, except that
Some of it could cook off, you know.
Not enough of it. And it wasn't, you know, vermouth is great.
A lot.
But that, it was just
set it aflame.
And it was
set it aflame.
It was done.
Make it flambe gravy.
It was done before he had a chance to say, oh, that's okay, don't. Anyway, yeah. Disaster.
Reminds me, well, I'm trying to think of what movie it was. Was it State Fair? Where the mama is making mincemeat and everybody comes by the pot and tastes it and then adds a little bit more brandy. And, of course, in the end, she wins the mincemeat contest at the state fair because the judges can't get enough of it.
Yeah, it's fully lubricated. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, to me, I truthfully, the other day, my market got its Thanksgiving share of croutons. And there are two New York bakeries that both make very good croutons, and that's Eli's, as in
Zabar.
Many things. Yeah, Eli's Zabar, and Bread Alone. And I've been buying the Bread Alone croutons for a few years now. I like them a lot. It's a mix of different things, but no pumpernickel. I don't want pumpernickel in my. And of course, I've made my own. You know, you cut up bread and toast it in the oven a little bit, 200-degree oven for 20 minutes, and it's usually enough. But the secret to me, to good stuffing, is a lot of sautéed in lots of butter, onions, and celery. And for years, I put aside, well, in Connecticut, I had sage in the garden, and sage is one of the herbs that really holds up most of the winter. Towards the end of the winter, you don't want to use it. It doesn't taste very good either. But right now, it should be very good.
Yep.
Sage is very hardy. And you can use fresh sage, but what I would do in the city is I'd buy sage and then dry it, or I would harvest my own when I had the little herb garden on the side of the building here, and let it dry out. But dried sage is just fine for stuffing.
It's actually perfect, and it doesn't overtake it. You know, it's a good one. It works.
Yeah, it does. And if you want to put sausage in your stuffing. Cook up some American-style sage breakfast sausage.
Oh, there's that. Okay.
Yeah, I like that. So I don't do it very often. But I like just plain bread stuffing with lots of onions, lots of celery, lots of butter.
Are you a cornbread guy or no?
And really good turkey broth to make it taste something like it would if I cooked it inside the bird, which I never do.
All right, so... there are cornbread types. Are you a cornbread type or a plain bread?
No, I'm a plain bread type. However, thank you for asking, years ago I used to make this just for its own sake, but there was a restaurant in Greenwich Village called Texarkana.
Right.
And now I'm not going to remember the chef's name. He was a nice guy. He was Delahousie. He was Cajun or Creole. In any case, he made on a stovetop cornbread stuffing. And so I used to make that a lot. And it was really nothing but a lot of onion, jalapeno peppers. I guess we had some celery just to give it a little more, you know, texture. And then crumbled cornbread. with some broth. Probably, you know, out of a bird, it would be just chicken broth, just to moisten it all. And it's a stovetop thing. I guess there are people who make it in a casserole, but sort of not necessary. I like it a lot. I haven't made it in years, but that's why I'm not quite remembering it.
Right. No, but you know, I'm happy with that as a separate. But not. I am a non cornbread on things. As you can tell, I don't have any views about any of this, and I'm not particular remotely. So.
Well, we never. You know, at my sister's house, we never ate cornbread, but she used to make this very creamy cornbread / casserole, which I only. Years later, I realized was from the back of the Jiffy corn muffin box. And in fact, if you go online today, meaning really today, you will find that recipe all over the place. It's a can of corn, a can of creamed corn, sour cream. I'm forgetting all what goes in, but actually various and a couple of boxes or two boxes of the Jiffy cornmeal, and you bake it in the oven. So I've seen this now with jalapenos in it, with all kinds of different additions, cheese. I don't think my sister ever put cheese in hers. So if you want to do it, really is good. Especially if you have a family like my neighbor that likes sweet things, it has a sweet edge to it, even with sour cream. And you spoon it out. It's like a pudding. You can't cut it into. I don't think. Maybe some of these versions you can cut into pieces, but I recall when my. Actually, I have the dish that my sister always served it in. Because we downsized just a few years ago, and I took this dish. I should make it just for the hell of it.
But not. All right. So let's get back to questions because I think soon we're going to. I both be hungry, but
yeah.
But be organized.
Still.
What? No,
we still have a little time. Yeah. We didn't even get to vegetables.
That's
why I'm.
Is this?
I you know
shipping you along
starches,
here.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I said that's why I'm chipping you along here. We got to do vegetables.
Yeah. Well, besides the mashed potatoes and some kind of sweet potato dish, which you have to have at Thanksgiving, I think, and stuffing, the carb lovers will also love that pie is the main dessert. But vegetables. So there are so many. Most families just tend to make the same vegetables every year, and I get that. But here are some thoughts. I cook endive. And it's a really good side dish for Thanksgiving because you can cook it way ahead of time and just serve it at room temperature. I'm sure I've given this technique more than recipe on the air before, but you split the each endive in half the long way, put it in a lightly oiled extra virgin olive oil, a baking dish, drizzle more oil on top, so it gets in between the leaves a bit, salt and pepper, and that's it. If you want to make it, the day of Thanksgiving, it truthfully can go into almost any temperature, anywhere from 350 to 450. I usually cook it at 400, 425. And then when they endive have collapsed and even gotten a little color on them, mainly on the bottom, you'll see the color. Take them out and let them cool. And that's you can just serve them like that. If you have a nice baking dish, you can serve them right out of the baking dish. I also like endive salads. I cut the endive the other way, meaning crosswise, and just dress it with my normal oil and vinegar. I have really good oil and really good vinegar, but you know you might want a little mustard in there. Like a quarter teaspoon of Dijon for every couple tablespoons of oil. Or an anchovy is very good with endive. Brussels sprouts. Now, I think Brussels sprouts recently became a trendy vegetable. Can you believe this?
No.
I knew you would say no. But I happen to like Brussels sprouts sort of any which way, except, I got to say, not raw. And there's a virus going around called raw Brussels sprouts. slaw. I see Brussels sprouts slaw.
I know. I've seen that. It's like, guys, come on.
In the supermarket.
Yeah, just stop.
No, it's bitter. I don't like it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. By the way, Brussels sprouts.
I do like Brussels sprouts,
sure.
And I cut them in half through the root end and put them on a baking sheet, toss them with olive oil, put them on a baking sheet, and roast them at 450. When they start caramelizing,
they start collapsing,
on the flat side,
and, you know, what could
and
be
get
better?
A little charred on the outside, you take them out.
And I just have to throw in here that, you know, back to the family Thanksgiving for a second. You know, I was always prevailed upon to make potatoes, make Brussels sprouts, make carrots, make stuffing. What's your secret? And a person who shall remain nameless rounded and said, salt and butter. It's like, yeah, exactly. There's nothing, none of that. It doesn't taste good with butter and salt, which you need to use on Thanksgiving.
You remind me of a movie.
Another
movie. I
quote
this movie a lot.
Okay.
For this reason. Last Holiday, starring Queen Latifah and Gerard Depardieu. And Depardieu plays a chef, and Queen Latifah thinks she's going to die, like, imminently. So she goes to his very luxurious restaurant/spa, but she'll eat anything on the menu. So they become friends, because most of the people there just eat, you know, broiled fish with a salad on the side. So they're walking down the promenade one day and talking about philosophical things like what's the meaning of life. And he says, you know what the secret to happiness is? Butter.
It's true. Butter.
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 One word.
Yep.
Butter. Anyway, yeah, butter plays a big role on Thanksgiving. I told you I made this a couple weeks ago, but I now have done the sauce again, and I have real measurements, but the string bean casserole is having a renaissance this Thanksgiving. I've never seen so much written about the string bean, the famous string bean casserole, including Eric Kim in the New York Times, who also recited the history of the casserole. It was created by a woman in the test kitchen of Campbell's Soup in 1955, I recall. I may be off by a year. And it was on the can, and, you know, made with a can of cream of mushroom soup and frozen or canned string beans. I remember them. My family didn't make this, but I ate it in other people's house. The string beans being Frenched, which means cut the long way. You probably can still buy Frenched.
Oh, is that what that means?
Frenched, it means it's cut the long way.
On string beans? I had no idea. Okay. I mean,
yeah.
That must be.
By the way, I've never had a French string bean in France, but what you do get in France are haricots verts, which are very, very skinny string beans.
String
and they sell
beans.
Those here now. So
and
if you want to spend the money on skinny string beans, go ahead.
Okay, but I just have to...
I made the dish with normal string beans.
Whenever you do this...
Pardon me?
Whenever you do this, I have to tell my string bean, my Grace's string bean story, which is in 1986, okay? I was getting haricots verts, because I liked skinny string beans, for, you know, dinner for 12. It wasn't that many, 13, not many. And I eyeballed enough, and we put it on the scale, 1986, boys and girls, and it was like $57. So I put them back.
But anyway,
go on.
$57, I couldn't eat it. I would choke.
Exactly. Likewise. They went back.
I made it with normal string beans. I cooked them from the time I put them in a big pot of boiling water for 5 minutes. They were really only back to the boil for about 2.5, but it was enough. Drain them. I don't ice them or rinse them or anything. I just let them cool down. They cook a little bit longer, which is what I want. And what I did last week, though, was make the mushroom sauce base. So, because I made an original recipe that I had a doctor to get it where I wanted. So here's where I want it. Use four tablespoons of butter and saute a half a pound, 8 ounces, of sliced mushrooms. Once the mushrooms are over medium-high heat, once the mushrooms get nice and browned, push them aside and add another 4 tablespoons of butter and 1/3 cup of flour and mix that all together. The butter will bubble up immediately and make a roux. I use my flat-edged spatula, wooden spatula, to do this. It works very well. And once the flour and butter are bubbling up, I forgot an important thing. I sauté the onions with 1/4 cup of minced shallots. So I use maybe 4 tablespoons of butter, 1/4 cup of minced shallots, and 1/2 pound of sliced mushrooms, which comes out to about 4 cups of sliced mushrooms. And then I add the roux, and then I add 3 cups of liquid. Now, I used the other day 2 cups of chicken broth because I had it and I wanted to use it up, and 1 cup of milk. But you could do the opposite, too. You could, if you want a little creamier, you could do 2 cups of milk and 1 cup of broth and mix that in. It's going to bubble up and thicken. Salt and pepper, of course. And I also put nutmeg in my sauce. I like nutmeg with the mushrooms. I like nutmeg in a white sauce. And that's it. Salt, pepper, nutmeg, those are the only seasonings. And let it simmer a few minutes. It's going to thicken up nicely. And that's your basis for the string beans. And then on top you put those store-bought crispy onions. Don't even attempt to make those yourself.
No.
But I must say I'm enjoying my bag of crispy onions that I bought in Costco. And I'm trying to get rid of them.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Between now and Thanksgiving, so that they don't sit here and tempt me anymore.
That seems reasonable. All right.
Yeah, this big bag is really too much, as most things at Costco are too much. Oh, so another vegetable that I'm really into, and that is really, I don't think many people make red cabbage for Thanksgiving, but it goes really well with turkey, I think, and it adds another color to the table, which we like. And it's healthy. It's a relatively healthy vegetable compared to some of the others that you're going to make. And the other thing, my neighbor wanted to make these roasted vegetables glazed. And I said, why would you want to add so much sugar? And she told me what she was going to use. And it's basically syrup. Why would you want to serve that? And she said, oh, because it tastes good. I said, it's sort of plain vegetables. So my advice is there are a lot of things you can just roast on a sheet pan, and almost none of them need anything more than some nice oil, salt, and pepper. Don't put butter on because that burns in the oven.
Right. And it doesn't.
And that's it.
Yep. Sounds great.
Yeah. No, I mean, happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
And happy Thanksgiving to you.
Yeah, don't eat too much.
Ha. All right. Well, we'll check on that precise.
This is the beginning of that weight gain season, you know.
Exactly. It's the kickoff.
From now until the new year, Americans gain an average of 7 pounds.
What a surprise!
I read that once. Maybe it's down to 6 now.
What a surprise! But then it also depends if you're doing astrological New Year. That takes you to April, so you got time.
You got time to what? Lose it?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, the thing is this. Why do you think there are so many weight loss and gym commercials after New Year?
But why do you think that...
It's on everybody's mind.
Please tell me why anyone can get motivated in the dead of winter to sit for spring, for New Year. I just find that whole thing just ridiculous. Anyway, my... Sorry.
I'm old, so I'm not motivated at all anymore. It is what it is.
Well, I'm old and I am, and there you go.
All right.
Yeah. All right.
Well,
happy Thanksgiving.
Really have a delicious Thanksgiving. Don't work too hard, little by little. Have friends, family bring things. I've been asked. I'm doing a post-Thanksgiving.
Well, there's that.
With friends.
Right.
And I was asked to bring the famous, now famous, string bean casserole.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, in my mushroom sauce, I put a ton of Parmigiano, which is to say... For the 3 cups of liquid, I would use as much as 3/4 cup of grated cheese. And the sauce, as I just said, I made the other day just so that I'd get the proportions right. And it was delicious on egg pasta.
Okay.
And I thought as I was eating the egg pasta, this would really make a good casserole.
Casserole.
Like a, an Italian kugel.
You may be onto something.
Baked in the oven. Well, I'm going to try it again.
Yeah.
The sauce is so good. I mean, it is flour thickened sauce, which is not terribly Italian, got to say.
Well,
and by the way, if you want to enrich this even more, I would put in a tablespoon or two of heavy cream.
Of course you would. I'm stopping with the Parmesan.
You knew I was going to say that?
I did.
I'm old.
It was a good
always game. Says that all my friends go crazy when I add two tablespoons of cream, but they don't flinch at all when I add a quarter of a cup of olive oil.
No, it's just
the way the world has turned.
I believe that you should add cream and olive oil and butter. So I'm the wrong guy for complaining. I just don't necessarily.
If we had more time, I'd tell you the story about my cardiologist friend's mother.
All right, next time.
Who only secretly uses fats that the daughter doesn't abide by.
Happy Thanksgiving. Take care.